Thank you for tuning in to A Time of Hope with highlights of our services last Sunday. Leading our worship last Sunday was a guest minister, the Reverend Mike Williams. Reverend Williams is from Columbia, and we appreciate his coming to lead our service. We also would like to invite you to join us for church this morning, live and in person, in our sanctuary at 101 North Oak. That's the church with a clock in the steeple. The Sunday school starts at 9:30. Our sister church, Salem United Church of Christ, has services at 8:30 out on Route K. Again, thank you for listening.
Morning. It is a pleasure to be here. And as we begin, let us call ourselves to worship using the words from our call to worship. Would you please stand? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights.
Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts.
Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars.
Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens.
Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and rulers of the earth.
Young men and women alike, old and young together.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above heaven and earth.
He has raised up the horn for his people. Praise for all his faithful. The people of Israel who are close to him. Praise the Lord.
Please join me in our prayer of the day. Almighty God, you wonderfully created and yet more wonderfully restored the dignity of human nature. In your mercy, let us share the divine life of Jesus Christ, who came to share our humanity, and who now lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. O Lord, open our lips.
Is Carol of the Bells, sang by a trio from our church, Beth Damp, Stacy Frederick, and Connie Bestian.
Hark, how the bells, sweet silver bells, all seem to say, throw cares away. Christmas is here, bringing a cheer, ding, young and old, ding, and the bowl, ding, and ding, dong, dong, as a song, ding, joyful ring, bow. One seems to hear words of good cheer from everywhere, filling the air. Oh, how they go, praising the sun. Oh, how they tell, they foretell. Gaily they ring, while people sing songs of good cheer. Christmas is here. Ding-dong, ding-dong, that is her song. With joyful ring, the carol thing. Ding-dong, ding-dong, ding-dong. Christmas is here, bringing a cheer to young and old, big and the bold. Ding-dong-dong, that is our song, ding-dong-dong, ring-dong. One seems to hear words of good cheer from everywhere, filling the air. Oh, how they bell, praising the sun, or the day, tell their tale. Gaily they ring, while people sing songs of good cheer. Christmas is here, ding-dong-ding-dong, that is our song, with joyful ring, the carol of the ding-dong, 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 ding-dong. On they send, on without end, their joyful tone to every home. Ding-dong, ding-dong, ding-dong.
Carla Clennon reads the morning scriptures, followed by Pastor Williams' sermon.
Will you please join me in the prayer for illumination? Almighty God, You have poured upon us the new light of your incarnate word. Grant that this light will grow in our hearts and shine forth in our lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our first lesson comes from Isaiah 61, verses 10 through 62:3. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, for my soul shall exalt my God. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation, and he has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with garland, and a bride adorns herself with jewels. For the earth shall bring forth its shoots, as a garden causes what is sown in the spring up. So the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest, until her vindication goes upon forth as brightness and her salvation as a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication and the kings of your glory, and you shall be called by name, which the mouth of the Lord will give you. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hands of the Lord, and a royal crown in the hands of your God. Here ends our first lesson. Our second lesson comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 40. And when it is time for the purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male open the wound shall be called holy in the Lord. And the offering of sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord. For a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit once upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not be death before he had seen the Lord Christ. And inspired by Spirit, he came into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up from his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, in which thou hast prepared the presence of all people, a light for revelation in the Gentiles and the glory of thy people of Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what they said about him. And Simeon blessed him and then said, Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set forth to fall and rise of many in Israel for a sign that has spoken against and a sword that will pierce through your own soul, although thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess Anna and the daughter of Phinehas of the tribe of Asher. And there was a great age living, having lived with her husband 7 years from virginity, and the widow till she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up to that very hour, she gave thanks to God and spoke to him to all who were looking for redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to the Galilee, to their own city of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom and the favor of God once upon him. Here ends our scripture lessons. Praise be to God.
So, here we are. It was Christmas 3 days ago, 2 days ago. But here's the thing, it's actually still Christmas. Christmas until, I'm just going to check your memory. Christmas until Epiphany. What day is Epiphany? January 6th. Okay. You heard the song 12 Days of Christmas? You're 3 days in now, okay? So 12 days is actually Epiphany on January 6th. But we're in that kind of weird in-between time. Christmas has happened for a lot of us. Some people have even started taking decorations down. By the way, Epiphany. Sorry, just an opinion. But we're in that weird in-between time because, you know, kids have opened presents. We've got together with family. And yet school doesn't start for another almost a week, right? So we're in that weird in-between time. And it's an in-between time in a lot of ways. It's the end of the year. So like if you've been watching the news or social media, you've been seeing maybe Spotify recaps of your playlist from the last year. You've been seeing video game recaps of your last year, YouTube recaps of how much time you spent watching whatever. And also news journalists and pontificators and all of these people are commenting on everything that has gone well over 2025, and they've been talking about all the things that have not gone well over 2025. And we're in that time of transition. And there's lots of other kinds of transitions that we experience in life. You know, this is a, you know, end of a year, so that's a time of transition. As a congregation, you are experiencing a time of transition from one pastor to another. You are going through this search process. There's also other kinds of transitions that happen. There might be the transition, if you were alive in 1989 through 1991, the fall of the Berlin Wall and the end of the Cold War brought a change, not only to the way we lived as a society, but the way we interacted with the wider world. If you were alive in 1945, there was also a transition from war to peace, and all of the GIs and all the veterans came home, and suddenly we built houses, and all of the economy changed as the people who had worked in the factories, some of them got to keep their jobs, some of them did not, and all of the women who had worked in the factories, and all of that changed. Some of those changes were positive, some of them were not, and it was just those moments of change. When moments of change come, they leave things unsettled. And in the text that Carla read just a few minutes ago, the people of Israel are experiencing a time of transition. So the time of transition that they're experiencing Isaiah can be broken up into about three different sections or five different sections, depending on how finely you want to cut it. There's a time in Isaiah when they are still living in Israel and they're worried about the coming exile. And then there's a time in exile. And then there's a time after they come home. And the part that we're reading today is as they are starting to come home. Because what has happened, if you know your history of Israel, the northern kingdom has been taken off by the Assyrians in what is now Syria. The southern kingdom is taken off a couple hundred years later by the Babylonians in what is today Iraq. And then about 75, 80 years after that, the Babylonian Empire is taken over by the Persians in what is now modern day Iran. Why any of this matters is because now the King Cyrus of Persia has said to all these people who are living in exile, you can go home now. And they're going home, but they're going home to a place that is different. So imagine you live in Miami, pre-1955. There's a little bit of trade going back and forth between Cuba and the United States. But then in 1957, Fidel Castro takes over in Cuba, and all of a sudden, a million plus Cuban refugees come to Miami. And then 75, 80 years later, there's a change in government, and everybody can go back. Think about how much has changed, both in the lives of the people who've been living in Miami for the last 75, 80 years and people who have been in Havana, Cuba, for the last 75, 80 years. They're going to have different experiences. So that's what's happening to the nation of Israel. Isaiah is speaking to a bunch of people who all of a sudden, if you read the first part of chapter 61, release of the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, able to go home, there is a royal highway through the wilderness. All of this language you've heard a couple, 3 weeks ago in the run-up to Christmas. Now, we're seeing it come into fruition. And you're seeing the prophets say, All of this is happening. And not only is it happening, I am giving you a new name. You are rejoicing. You are having this celebration of reunification of people who were hauled away in exile, people who come back, and it's a moment of celebration. And we often celebrate in moments of transition. We're going to party on December 31st and January 1st, depending on which bowl game you watch, and you're going to have a celebration. And you're going to make all kinds of exciting new resolutions in this time of transition. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to join a gym. I'm going to learn a new language. I'm going to take up sourdough cooking. I'm going to do all this stuff. And all of my life will be fixed in the next 5 days. And then on day 6, what's going to happen? The wheels will fall off the wagon, and it's going to be a little bit more challenging. But we're going to have that celebration for that moment. The same thing happens to the people of Israel. In chapter 61 and chapter 62 of Isaiah, all these people are coming home. And it is a moment of celebration. It is this moment of joy because they have been hauled away for over 2 or 3 generations. And now all of a sudden they're coming back. And it is a moment of celebration. But then read Ezra, read Nehemiah, and you'll see that the reunion and the rebuilding of the temple is a little harder than they expected. And it's going to be a bumpy road. Most of our transitions work that way. We can celebrate moments like birthdays. We can celebrate moments like anniversaries. We can celebrate all of these things, but we know that things are going to be a little challenging. Moms, you've gone into labor. 2, 3, 8, 12 hours later, out pops the baby. Hard work's done, right? No! You've had a moment of transition. You've celebrated. The hard work is not done, it just begins. Transitions are celebratory and worth praising God for, but they are the beginning of a new stage of the journey. And every time kids get older and older and older, you celebrate kindergarten. You celebrate middle school. You celebrate graduation. You celebrate college. You celebrate going off to the military. Whatever happens in those moments of transition, you celebrate. And yet there's always a loss. There's always a change. There's always a something that goes with it. And that same thing is true for the people of Isaiah, and it's true for the people in Luke. In the story that Carla read, Jesus is being taken to the temple for the ritual purification. Now, I want you to know that this is not forgiveness of sin. Mary had not sinned by giving birth. That's not at all what that... This is a way of saying, okay, that period is over. The time of pregnancy, the time of giving birth is over, and now we are going from being an expecting mom to a new mom, and we're trying to figure out how to move forward. And it's especially true if you have your firstborn male son because, well, it's patriarchy. And so what happens is we have this child who's brought forward, and his name in English is Jesus. Like I told the kids, his name in Hebrew is Yeshua, which means Joshua. If you remember Joshua, there's a whole book about him in the Old Testament. He was the one who helped establish the kingdom of Israel in the promised land. So there is a reason that the angel Gabriel said, you're going to name this baby Yeshua. You're going to name him after this important figure who has demonstrated the ability to create a new kingdom. Because this is what Jesus himself is going to come and do. And so they go... And this time of transition marks something really amazing because they go and they present Jesus at the temple and they go and they offer their sacrifice. And the sacrifice, imagine the temple's kind of vaguely set up like this. And so there's the Holy of Holies up here and the altar would be about here. and the altar had a flame going on it, because what you would do, sorry, this is just how it worked. So in this case, there were two turtle doves, two pigeons, and wring their neck, clean them, cook them, and you share it with the family. It's kind of a family meal. You know that Jesus and Mary, or excuse me, that Joseph and Mary were poor because they brought two pigeons. If you were middle class or upper class, what are you going to bring? Sheep. So this already tells you the economic status of Joseph and Mary. And it's going to tell you the status of Jesus and the kind of people that Jesus is going to hang around with most of his life. Because, well, frankly, we can't even afford a sheep, so you got two pigeons. So, and now we have this time of transition, and we're coming to Dean here in a second. But all of a sudden, we present the baby, and there's this guy named Simeon. So Simeon's right here. Simeon, in the text, does not have a job. He's just a righteous and devout guy hanging around the temple. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him, and all of a sudden, he sweeps up Jesus and starts talking about him. So all of a sudden, sorry, Renee, sorry, Tyler, some random elder in this church is just going to grab Dean and start parading him around the sanctuary and start talking about him. How are you feeling at that particular moment? You didn't know this was coming. No! Right! And so Simeon starts talking about and quotes Isaiah and says, I have been waiting for my entire life for this to happen. I have been waiting for this kind of transitional moment to happen, and oh God, you can take me now because I have seen it. And that's what happens. And you get a story about what's going to happen to Jesus. A sword will pierce Mary's heart. We'll get into that closer to Easter. But there is this moment where the community around Jesus, the community around Joseph and Mary, is suddenly proclaiming, this child is special. We're going to do that here in a little bit. Hopefully nobody's going to rip Dean out of his parents' hands. But if you do, there's apparently a biblical precedent. There's also this woman named Anna. Anna has a job. Anna is, according to the text, what? She's a prophet. Simeon's just a guy. Anna's a prophet. And Anna says, this child is the one who's going to bring Israel to a new place, going to bring us to something new. She is a widow. And widow is not just because her husband died. It's actually also a job. It's one of those, okay, I'm not from this congregation, but you know who they are. Who's the wise female elders in our church? Do you have those wise female elders who make the whole place run? Carol? Okay. So this is Carol. Carol's got a job. And all of a sudden, Anna says, this child is special. We're going to celebrate this, and we're going to give him a new name. Because his name is also going to demonstrate what God is doing. Demonstrate what God is doing in our midst. Even though the Roman Empire is still here, even though that hope that we had that we would build a new kingdom and that the temple would be something truly unique and Jewish and we would have all of this specialness happen, we know, according to Simeon and what he said to Joseph and to Mary, it's going to be a rough road. Transitions are hard. In fact, it's ultimately going to take Jesus to the cross. Transitions are hard. In In a second, we're going to welcome Dean in. We're going to give him officially a name, Dean Everett Elliott. We're going to welcome him into a body of Christ. We're going to recognize a transition in his life as he becomes officially part of us. And you notice what happened in the text. It wasn't just Mary and Joseph going to the temple, offering their sacrifice and going home. Simeon and Anna got involved. So in a second, we're going to have Shane and Kayla get involved. Simeon and Anna, perhaps. And all of us are going to offer a prayer for Dean to be able to say, we support you. We recognize what God is doing in your midst. We recognize what God is doing in this time of transition. And at the same time that he goes through this transition, and as you can see, transitions are hard. The same thing will be true for this body of Christ, that is the church. Transitions are hard. I don't know what the future looks like, and frankly, none of us do. But we know that God is with us. We know that Emmanuel, the one who we celebrate, the one who we dedicate, and the one who we welcome in baptism today, is a sign of God's presence with us, sign of the Holy Spirit being at work not only in Dean, Tyler, and Renee's life, but at work in the life of this congregation. So, in those moments where you want to celebrate, celebrate. In those moments where it becomes hard and those resolutions become a little more difficult, remember, even there, God is with us. Even there, God continues to work, continues to guide, whether it's the search committee or two parents or a whole congregation. God is at work. Emmanuel, God is with us. Amen. Our responsive hymn is hymn number 138, What Child Is This Who Laid to Rest?